leading us into real worship, I told Gail, I said, if you ever turn loose, I think there's going to be a bunch of people will join with you. So those of you who want to turn loose, you're going to have that opportunity one day. Just hang on to your hat. We're going to go. But I was also watching that video, and there was a few things that jumped out at me. Here's this young boy praising God. He's been through a very difficult time in his life, but he didn't care. He's ended up praising God. And he's doing it well. But in that song, there was a few phrases that I want to highlight. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Who is it brings order into chaos? Does he really do that? When I said that there was very few people actually shook their head, yes. I wonder why. And then Russell, in the song that he was leading, he had this phrase. Who is it that frees us from all our failings? Does he actually do that? Still, not a lot of people are engaging with that. Why is that? I honestly believe, we're going to talk a little more about it today, that we don't actually believe that he sets Christians free. We don't believe it. Oh, we talk about it as part of our theology. We can even go to the Bible. We can pick out verses to prove it. But when it comes to our everyday life, we don't believe that Jesus sets us free. Because we'd be acting like Gil. We'd be a little more exuberant. Now, I'm not that type of person. I'll just sit and cry like a baby. I can watch something on TV and everybody else is laughing. I'm sitting there crying. That's just me. But if we really believe that Jesus sets people free, it would show up in our life. Not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It should be over the top. So, as Christians, we're supposed to be set free, right? What does that mean? Well, last week we talked about where when Jesus saves us, you know, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, which means that his whole purpose for being here is to seek out people that were lost, and he saves us, and when he saves us, he guarantees a place in heaven. But when we're saved, we also have the potential of being changed. I'm going to read you a verse in a few minutes that proves that. You see, as Christians, the things that hold us back can be removed. You and I can be free from all, say that word with me, all. What does all mean? All. That keeps us from being the very best that we can be. When he saves us, he gives us the potential to be the best we can be. We just convince ourselves that we don't have to. Don't we? Well, I'm afraid of what somebody else is going to say. Amen, Brother Tony. Oh, I'm just going to keep living this and doing this way. Why? Because, oh, it's not that bad. You know what? Everybody's doing it, so it must be all right if I do it. Wrong. He sets us free from the rubbish that destroys us and pulls us back. He sets us free, and he wants us to be filled with him and the exuberance that goes with that. He wants us to be free people. So let me ask you, have we become all we can be for Jesus? Well, there's still not a lot of people responding to all that. So, yeah, I hope you're thinking about it. How many believes you could actually be more for Jesus than you are? Thank you. I thought I'd get some more hands. Yeah, me too. So this Jesus setting us free, is it real or is it a pie in the sky type thing? I mean, is it just good preaching or is it real? Today I want to investigate what it means to be set free. And we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. Hopefully you're reading through the Gospels. It's been a rather interesting journey if you've been reading through the Gospels. It doesn't sound like a trumpet to me. Hopefully you've been reading through the Gospels, and because I've challenged everybody to do that about 3 weeks ago, and I try to read a little morning and a little in the night, and that way we can get all the way through the Gospels. But when you read through the Gospels, it's quite interesting how you're re-engaging with who Jesus is. Talking to Shirley today, and she's in John, and she said it's just so emotional to go through the book of John. And it just hit me this morning, this is not in my message, but that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us what he did. John tells us who he is. Oh wow, John's a little more intimate and personal. That's the reason I like John. I like them all. But anyway, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, another one of his reasons for being here. Let me read verses 16 through 21. First, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for our challenges just to be who we are for you. Thank you that you intend for us to be free people. Now may we get it through our heads and into our hearts that we should be free people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." There you go. That's why he's reading from the book of Isaiah, that right here is what he's going to do. And most of it has something to do with about setting people free, releasing them from the things that hold them back. Folks, this is not Pentecostal. This is biblical. And now listen as Luke continues. And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sit down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Boy, I just stopped and thought about that the other day. He reads this text from the book of Isaiah and everybody's staring at him, probably holding their breath. What is he going to do next? Listen to what he says. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, what we just read, it's me. So his purpose, one of his purposes, seeking to save that which was lost, and it was to set those people free. "Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." So let it sink in that one of the main reasons he came, not only to seek and to save that which was lost, but to set people free. The only trouble is most of us have never seen ourselves as enslaved to anything We live in a free country. I've never been a slave to anything. Are you sure? The Bible would disagree with you. Matter of fact, we're going to let it. We're going to read about that, all right? Listen as Paul is talking. And you see, he's going to describe something. And he's going to describe the fact that sin has its cold, clammy hand wrapped around you. Before we were saved, we were in the grip of sin. Romans chapter 6. Verses 5 through 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Folks, that's wonderful. Jesus died and rose again. When we get saved, we're going to rise again. Can somebody say hallelujah? You know, we're going to have a brand new body. I am so looking forward to that. Then he goes on, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Now, look at this, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You should never say, I've never been enslaved to something. But before you became a Christian, you were enslaved to your base desires. The only problem is, even as Christians, though we have the potential of being set free from those enslavements of sin, many of us are still bound by our past. Would you agree? Is that what it is in your life? Is that the way it should be? No. When he saved us, he gave us the potential to be set free from that sin. Now, we need to be living that way. And if we are not living out the freedom of Christ, folks, we are not living like people who have been set free. If there's something this world desperately needs to see, it's Christians who believe they're saved, who believe they've been set free from the sin, and they act that way. You remember the statistic that we read early last year, that Australians in general want to believe in something that Christians actually do what they say they believe. Christians need to be real. Not this Sunday religiosity. Blah. Absolutely. We need to live shining the brightest throughout the week. Not just on Sunday. Do we do that? Think about it. Now, before we go on a little bit further, what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, I want to read something that Jesus said in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 36. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, if the Son makes you free... Somebody finish that? You'll be free indeed. In other words, none of this make-believe, none of this almost, but if Jesus has made you free, you are really free. You're set free. Folks, let's start enjoying our Christianity all week long. What does that all mean? What are we free from? Well, good old Chuck Swindoll has given some good insight into that. Let me read you what Chuck Swindoll said. Christian liberty is freedom from slavery or bondage. It is initially freedom from sin's power and guilt. Boy, in other words, sin doesn't have to dominate me. Yep. In other words, I don't have to live according to the guilt of my past. Yes. He goes on, freedom, we're free from God's wrath. How many believes in hell? If you're a Christian, reading about it's the only part of hell you're going to ever experience. But you see, as Christians, we're changed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our faith in Him. And hell is something that we're never going to experience. Somebody said, well, if hell's anything like living on this earth, I want to go there. No, 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 no. Hell is terrible. You don't want to go there. And that should be one of the greatest driving forces that we tell people about Jesus. But as a Christian, we are free from the wrath of God. You can say amen if you want to. We're also free from satanic and demonic authority. Satan and demonic, we're free from that? Yeah. Satan can't touch you unless you invite him to. We'll get there in a minute. Chuck Swindoll continues, an equally important freedom is freedom from the shame that can easily bind me, as well as freedom from the tyranny of other people's opinions, obligations, and expectations. Anybody ever feel the obligation of somebody else's opinion? You know that destroys more worshipers than anything in the world is other Christians' opinions. Oh, what are they going to say? Who cares? What are they going to do? Let them do it. It doesn't matter. Chuck Swindoll said we're supposed to be free from other people's opinions, obligations, and expectations. So let's look at what we're free from. Free from the power of guilt of sin. Free from the wrath of God. Free from satanic and demonic authority. We're free from the shame and embarrassment of things in our past. Hallelujah. We are free from other people's opinions, obligations, and expectations. You see, when Jesus set us free, it was a no restriction, no reservation freedom. Did you know all that? Well, how'd that happen? Paul told us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. When you got saved, all those things in the past washed away by the blood of Jesus. You are brand spanking new. That means no need for the guilt, no need for the condemnation, none of that. It's gone. So let's stop bringing those things up. Don't you think it's a good idea? Well, you may say, listen, I just don't believe Jesus set us free like that. That's why you are not living in freedom. You don't believe Jesus. Folks, we've got to start believing this guy. When he says that, we have a choice. We either accept it or we don't. And he said, those who accept the things that I am saying, it's like a person who has built his house on a good foundation. When the storms of life comes, it'll stand. But those who reject what I'm saying, they're like a person who builds a house on sand. Anybody ever done that? Hope not. when the storm comes, we got to start believing what he says. Swindoll said we are free from the opinions of others, and let's look at that closely. Why is it we're so concerned about other people's opinions? Why is it that we are so controlled by other people's opinions? I read something one day. He said, you know why we're controlled by other people's opinions? It's because we think we ought to control others with ours. And we submit ourselves to other people's opinions because we want other people to submit to our opinion.
I think it's got to do with what a lot of opinion of ourselves.
Good preaching, Russell. Sometimes we have a low opinion of ourselves, and that's the reason we submit to other people's opinions. Yeah. But you see, I think what can help change that, Russell, is if we will take God's opinion of us rather than our own. Because when we do something, we really mess up big time. Anybody ever done that? You admit that, eh? I do too. Yeah. But folks, we need to have God's opinion of us. And God's opinion of us is he loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us. Wow. Oh, but seriously, we need to start judging other people with our opinions, because I think even Jesus made the comment that we will but be judged according to our own judgment. And if you set other people free, chances are you'll be set free. Kind of something Jesus said. Oh, there's a situation that Jesus was very pointed to one of his disciples that was being a little bit sticky beak into the business of one of the other disciples. Do you know any sticky beaks? Anybody ever been tempted to be a sticky beak? Well, you see, the Apostle Peter was known for that. One time he was talking to Jesus, and while he was talking to Jesus, John walked by. And Peter, being who he is, John chapter 21, verse 21 says, and when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? And he's sticking his nose into John's business. Jesus dealt with it. He said, If it's my will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? That was Jesus saying that. Then his instruction, you follow me. Not concerned. You're not to be concerned what John's doing. If I want John to do this, then I'm going to tell John to do this. It's none of your business. But Peter, this is my instruction to you. Leave John alone and follow me. You got it, Peter? It's good preaching to the church today, don't you think? You see, that's kind of what we do. We judge other people. That's why we get judged ourselves. Now, something I want you to do. All those people that you've judged or they've hurt you or offended you, I want you to mentally list them for a second. Okay? You got them? Some of us, the list is a lot longer. Listen to what Jesus says. If I want them to do what they're doing, it's my business, not yours. Leave them alone. Listen, instead of judging that person, you look at me, you do what I say, not what they say. That will release us from the opinion of others. All right, now let's look at this freedom from satanic and demonic authority. As I said before, when we're saved, Satan can't touch you. But hang on a minute. Through his deception and trickery, he makes you think he can touch you. Let me say it again. He can't touch you. But through his deception and trickery, he can make you think he can touch you. I think Joyce Meyer made this comment, which I'll never forget. The battle for the Christian life is won or lost in the mind. If Satan can get into your mind and make you start doubting the freedoms of Jesus, guess what? You're no longer free. And you've invited it because you haven't believed Jesus. He came to set us free, folks. Let's start living that way. So why do we all still struggle? Why do we all struggle with those things in our past? Why? First of all, if you haven't made the decision to fully accept freedom, that freedom that Jesus bought for you at Calvary, then you need to fully accept the freedom. And to do that, you have to believe him. Simply believe him. He said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Hard to understand? Pretty easy? We willing to live that way? Even when it comes to the things in our past that people try to remind us of? Can you deal with that too? The Apostle Paul gives us some instruction on this. Remember, we were talking a few minutes ago in Romans chapter 6. He says that before Christ we were slaves to sin. Well, further in Romans chapter 6, he tells us what we should do to get past it all. Romans 6, verse 11. He's talking about Jesus, how Jesus died once to sin and rose from the grave to defeat that. Then he says, so also must you consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We must consider ourselves. What does that mean? Somebody tell me real quick. What does it mean to consider ourselves something? Yeah, take a good look. And basically consider, make the decision to accept what he says. Even though, obviously, yes, my past is still back there, it hasn't changed, nor will I ever change it. But if Jesus has set me free from that past, then in my mind, I have to consider myself to be dead to that, no longer part on my account, it's gone, squish! I'm free. That's considering ourselves being dead to that. Here's another thing. How about the sin that so easily besets us? And we each have them. Maybe you have an attitude that just keeps coming up occasionally. Oh, none of us would have that at all, would we? It's sin. Maybe we have an addiction of some kind. We talked about pornographic addiction, which is one of the worst things in the world that's going on right now. And Christians all over the world are involved in it. And it is addiction. And Jesus can set you free from that. But you've got to yield yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ and consider yourself dead to that and leave it alone. Why? Because Jesus is your Lord. You have to consider yourself dead to that. And then move forward. Because Jesus set us free from everything. We got to start living that way. Oh, and one of the things that I want to talk about, mention again, even when we get it right in our heads that we have been set free from the bondage of the past, we've been set free from the opinions of others, we get it right in our head, then there will be somebody, well-meaning or otherwise, that will come up and remind you of what you once did and who you once were. How do you respond to that? Let me share with you. When somebody accuses you or reminds you or condemns you for your past, you then have an opportunity. And I wrote it out here. This is how we should respond, or something similar. Yes, I realize that in my past, I've been through some dark days. Some of them have been of my own making, and some have been out of my control. And those things, you're right, were destroying me and my reputation. But you know what? I had a long talk with Jesus about those things. And you know what he said? He said, "That's all right, Tony. I'll set you free." You see, Jesus invited me out of my darkness, and I took him up on his invitation. Not only did he set me free, I can now live in freedom. Oh, and as you're talking to this person, now you can say, and you know what? He can help you move away from the dark things in your past. Are you interested? You see how you have transitioned somebody's little condemnation into an invitation to trust Christ? What an opportunity. Well, they opened the door. Walk through it. So, folks, let's get in our heads. We've been set free. We don't have to worry about the wrath of God anymore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't have to worry about the condemnation of our sin. Gone. Flushed. Gone. Seriously, we don't have to worry about the opinions of other people or their expectations. We really, I think Paul talked about us being God pleasers rather than people pleasers. We need to be pleasing God. If you're trying to please people, depression is soon to follow you. Be a God pleaser. Do what he says. Like Jesus told Peter, "You follow me." So it's time we allow that freedom to live through us, don't you think? And if we do, you will be surprised at the people that are seeing a real life example of Christianity in your life, and they'll want part of it. Because people are looking for real Christians who live what they say they believe. So let's be the ones to do that, all right? Please stand. I'm going to do a little bit of an advertisement for the next couple of weeks, okay? How many would like to lead somebody to Christ this year? How many can think of at least two people you'd like to lead to the Lord this year? Next week, I'm going to bring a 3x5 card, and I want you to list out on that card the people that you would like to see saved in the next year. And next week, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Woo-hoo. Go ahead, join with her. Woo! Well, wished I could say this is original with me, but I stole it from somebody else, all right? So I'm going to show you next week how you could lead these people to the Lord that you've been wanting to lead to the Lord, all right? So be here next week. Bring a pencil to write out those names. But for right now, let's start living in freedom. Okay? Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that Jesus was fairly clear when he said, if I've set you free, you're free indeed. It's time that we start considering ourselves to be free. It's time that we start moving away from the bondage that held us back and the sins that so easily hold us back. Help us to get rid of that rubbish and get it out of our lives and start focusing on you. And if we'll do that, we'll see revival permeate our church. Father, I thank you for your word and for your power. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great week.